Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
All right, Joe, let's talk about it. Atlanta United drops that 1-0 decision to Cincinnati. We've talked about how some of the comments that Mike and that Jason made during the broadcast. How did you feel about the officiating today?
Yeah, the officiating was questionable. In fact, Fernando Meza talked after the game saying that he had a conversation with the ref afterward, just trying to get some clarity on some of the calls that were made. Or really what it was, I think what Meza was upset about was the lack of cards that some of the Cincinnati players got at right. some moments in the game. There was a clear foul on Franco Escobar at one point where it was a clear break. The guy just tackled him from behind to stop a counterattack. And apparently the ref told Fernando Meza in that instance that there was not like a goal-scoring opportunity or something. Like they wasn't in the attacking third, something like that. That was the reason he didn't get the yellow card there. But yeah, The refereeing was questionable at times, but I mean, clearly the story of this game was not about the refereeing. It was just about the red card that happened early in the game that kind of threw everything out of whack. Frank DeBoer said that, you know, the plan had to be thrown overboard after that. And Atlanta United just couldn't really find themselves back in the game after that, at that point.
And Joe, as we've watched out throughout the game, we knew that coming into this game, Cincinnati, they were going to sit back, they were going to do all these things, and even a man down, they continued to do it until they waited for that one moment that Atlanta United dropped their guard and was able to score that goal, which was a great goal by that kid. What were your overall thoughts as far as how Cincinnati just was able to stick to their guns and be patient and wait for Atlanta United to make a mistake?
Yeah, so I actually think it was not going to probably be a fruitful way for Cincinnati to play coming out of the gates there. Like, in my opinion, if you're going to play defensively, you at least need to come out in the first 5 or 10 minutes and be a little bit aggressive, put some doubt in the minds of the opposing players. And I actually thought the Red Bulls did that really well in the game prior, where they came out and they were aggressive and they kind of punched Atlanta in the mouth right off the bat. Then they started to drop back and protect their own goal. And in this one, from the get-go, Cincinnati just dropped back and let Atlanta have the ball, which was clearly their strategy. But that you got to say that strategy worked out when Atlanta was reduced to 10 men. That changes everything. I don't think it would have worked out for Cincinnati had things gone on. I know that Atlanta United did not look great in those first 25 minutes either, but that was kind of the game plan for Atlanta coming into this one. And Frank DeBoer said it afterwards. He said that the thing that he was stressing to the team coming into this one was just to be patient, because Cincinnati was going to sit behind the ball, and that's why you start a guy like Adam John, who can get on the ends of crosses. You know, so if you're patient and you play the ball around, you're going to be able to work in some crosses and try to get those moments for John and some of those other attacking players to capitalize. But again, comes back down to that red card, and things just really, you know, that whole strategy, that whole plan, everything they had worked on coming into the game kind of got thrown out the window at that point.
Joe Patrick of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with us. Joe, I want to go back to officiating again for one final time. Did the VAR overstep his role at the end of that first half in taking the penalty kick away from United with that offsides call?
Yeah, the VAR, I think so. Listen, you're talking to a guy who has never liked VAR. I know why it's been implemented. I know that it's corrected some very important calls, and that is, you know, a good thing for sure. But yeah, that I don't know how. What was really surprising to me was that on the play where the red card happened, there was a questionable offsides, and if Cincinnati was offside in that moment, then the red card doesn't happen. I would assume the red card would then be wiped off the board, but they never went to look at it, even though it looked very, very close on the one or two shots that we got from the broadcast. And then, yeah, on the penalty that got taken away from Atlanta United, that is just such a close one. And in these situations, these guys don't, the VAR officials, the assistant referees who are reviewing these things, don't have the normal tools digitally that they would have in a normal game to really be able to refine exactly where someone's foot is on the field in relation to somebody else's. So I thought that was way too close to say it was a clear and obvious reason to remove it. I thought that there was kind of inconsistencies from the VAR booth.
Joe, what were your initial thoughts of the lineup change for, you said why they put John in, but I'm just talking about overall, Bello not playing. Talking about he was getting ready to start for the game against Columbus. What were your overall thoughts of the lineup?
That was a very curious one, the fact that Bello was not even in the match day squad. I would assume that even if you were wanting to play him, planning to start him against the Crew, that you would at least put him on the bench. I mean, you've got 12 slots, and they were carrying two goalkeepers on the bench. So I don't really understand why you wouldn't just take one of those goalkeepers out and put Bello on there, and then it's kind of funny how it worked out with you could have used a guy exactly like Bello who could have come on for Mulroney, you know, his replacement in the game. So I would kind of criticize that one from the board, but I understand the reasoning why as well. Sometimes you want to just give a young player like Bello, don't even put it in his mind that he needs to even be ready to play today, just kind of really focus in physically and mentally on that next game. I thought it was a smart decision to kind of, it seems like Frank has had a plan to rotate the two central midfielders, so he had Emerson Hyman and Mo Adams planned and slotted in to play against Red Bulls. And then today he had Jeff Lorenowitz and Eric Rometty in there. Those central midfielders do a lot of running. And in a tournament like this, it's really hard for those guys when you're asking so much of them physically to run the same guys out for two consecutive starts. So I thought that was actually a good move. And I thought that those two players did relatively well considering the circumstances. And then obviously you get Barco back in the starting lineup. He was suffering from some fitness issues leading up to the Red Bulls game because he had a little hamstring issue that had him causing him to miss some training before that game. But clearly, you know, he was not prepared to go 90 minutes, and Frank DeBoer eventually had to pull both him and Pitti out of the game just because he needs those guys. Again, for a game against Columbus Crew that's still going to have some importance on it, believe it or not, if some things break in Atlanta United's way in the next coming days.
Joe Patrick of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game visiting with us as we talk a little bit of Atlanta United. Mulroney and Williams suspended for Tuesday. What does that do, Joe, to the United lineup?
Fortunately, I don't think that's going to have a big impact on what Frank DeBoer had planned for the game against the Crew. It sounded like he was ready to have Bello start in this next game. And, you know, I asked him why Bello wasn't even on the match day roster today, and he just said that it was because he was planning him to play in the next game, which I assume that means that he's planning to start him in that game as well. So don't think that actually missing Mulroney is going to be as big of a deal. And then J.J. Williams, obviously that's kind of a guy that you would use in a situation exactly like he was used today, where he's kind of a guy that you would throw on at the last minute in a desperation attempt. So I guess that's one less, tool in the toolbox that Frank DeBoer will have against the Crew. But, I mean, ideally, if Atlanta is going to get anything meaningful out of that game, you won't be needing J.J. Williams to come on at the last second to try to get something out of it. They're going to need to have a big win against the Crew. They're going to need a multi-goal win, most likely, if they want to have any chance of making it to the knockout stages. So I guess that's like the one silver lining I guess you can take from this game, is that the guys who are suspended weren't going to figure into having a big influence over the coming match anyway.
So what does this team need to do better? Because, you know, I just saw the energy. It just seems like it wasn't there from the get-go. And like you said, like we talked before you got on, it just seems like it was one of those old-school boxing matches where the guy, you got the big puncher, but you got the methodical boxer that just waits. What does this team need to do a little bit better to try and see if they can't get that multi-goal win against Columbus?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I asked Jeff Lorenowitz this after the game, and I think he was kind of annoyed by my question, and I totally understand why when you've been out there running around for 2 hours in the Orlando heat and humidity. But I asked him, I said, is there some passion missing in this team? Because it just didn't seem like there was that same kind of, not even just like the physical moving around, but the same kind of just like energy from your soul, you know, that I feel like that's what a large thing that Atlanta United is missing with Joseph Martinez out of the lineup is kind of just that soul of the team, to that somebody, it's like you were just waiting in this game to see some Atlanta United player kind of yell and bark at the rest of his teammates, and you just never saw that happen. And I understand that it's a very difficult situation for them playing down a man in those conditions, and especially at that, in playing a morning game like that, you were eating pasta at 6 a.m. trying to get ready for this thing. It was pretty miserable for everybody out there. But yeah, you hope to see some more of that kind of bite and desire, and you know, you just want to see a little bit. Like you said, you just want to see more from the team. Obviously, there are tactics that play into it, but especially against the crew, when you know this is your last chance, this is the last hurrah. You really want to see them give everything they have out there, and I'm sure they will do that. By the way,
good stuff today, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, Joe P.
Thanks, guys. We'll do it later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.